Important dates in Christian history. 70 AD. Titus destroys Jerusalem and the temple. The separation between Christianity and Judaism deepens, and Christians spread throughout the Roman Empire, spreading the gospel as they go. God uses tragedy to forward his great commission. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, let's give this a go, shall we? This is Wretched Radio on a Witness Wednesday. Going to try a little Blaise Pascal. No, not you've got a God-shaped hole in your heart only Jesus can fill. So give him a go and we'll give you your money back if you don't like the results. Pascal, he offered that we should ask people if God exists. If he is this amazing, would you like to know this God and then demonstrate that he actually is that God? So present him in a way that makes him seem magnificent and then show them that he is. I'm going to give that a go at Georgia State University.
As you observe the world, do you ever see evil existing?
I think so, yeah. Like, I think there are some people who just are inherently not good people.
Do bad things, right?
Yeah, just have no remorse or anything like that, I feel like, yeah.
Yeah, sociopaths, that. Okay, so when you look at the planet, though, do you ever see good things, beautiful things?
For sure, yeah.
All right. You personally, do you ever, as you're kind of just thinking and pondering, ever feel guilt for actions that you've done or things that you wish you'd done in the past that you knew you should have done?
Yeah, absolutely.
Slightly different emotion, shame, which is, yikes, I sure hope nobody finds out about this. Do you ever have that sense?
Yeah.
The emotion of fear, not of heights or going outside, but specifically, do you ever fear death and what might happen when you die?
Absolutely.
You do? Okay. Yeah. All right. So those things, here would be my question. Do you have an explanation for all of those things? Why do we see good and evil? Why do we sometimes feel guilty and shameful? And why does it seem that we all really do fear death? Does your worldview explain those things?
I was raised like Christian. And so under Christianity, those things have like meaning. And, you know, there's an easy way to like explain them. But having a view where like you don't really think God exists, there's not really like a cosmic sense of good and evil. It's just kind of like inherent, I guess, in some people. Or like a tiger just is a tiger. Like they killing something is not like good or evil, it's just what a tiger does. But humans are a little different. They have like, I don't know, they should at least feel shame and guilt.
A moral sense.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So.
All right, so I just kind of, what I think I heard is you grew up in a Christian home, but you yourself do not believe in God.
More or less. I'm like on the fence still, but.
All right.
But.
Okay. So more or less. All right. So here's, I want to keep going. And this might sound familiar to you if you grew up in a Christian home.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If, it's my premise, if a God exists who could explain why we see good and evil, who can lay out an explanation that is credible and works harmoniously where it's not contradictory in any way. And if God, this God, could deal with our guilt problem, remove our shame that we feel, and somehow help us overcome our fear of death, if that God exists and he is willing to deal with our guilt and our fear and our shame and make sense of the planet because he is good and because he is kind, would you, Hannah, want to know that God and be in a relationship with that God?
If there was proof that he existed or they existed, sure, yeah, why not?
Right. So if that God existed, you're saying, yep, I'm in.
If I got proof for it, I would, yeah.
Okay, now, I think I know the reason why you might say no to that, but I'm going to ask you. So right now, you do not believe that that God exists, or you're on the fence about that God.
Yeah. Right.
So what proof would it require for you to say, yep, I'm all in?
Probably seeing them, like seeing is believing, so... If I were to see such a being? I suppose so.
All right, let me just see if we can define that more. In what form? How would God have to manifest himself for you to go, yeah, he exists?
I don't know. I haven't thought that far about it, so.
Could I somehow persuade you that there is a man, probably multiple men and women, who made this microphone? Even if you never see them, could I persuade you that they exist?
Well, yeah, because the microphone exists, and I know how microphones are made and the process behind that and everything, so.
Could I then conclude or try to lay forth for your consideration that God exists, his handiwork, what he has made, that the universe exists, you exist, you're intricately designed, far more so than this microphone. We intuit there's a microphone maker because we see the microphone. That's the proof of a microphone maker. We have a universe maker, therefore, equally we conclude, or where there's a universe, therefore we conclude there's a universe maker. So God shows himself to you through his handiwork. Would that be fair?
I guess so, but there's like scientific, like, you know, science has proven, you know, the leaves are green because of photosynthesis and, you know, other stuff like that. So,
yeah, I think science does a fine job of trying to figure out how things work, but they can't explain why things work. Why is there photosynthesis? Why are there leaves? Why is there life? Why is there anything at all? I don't think science can answer those questions, because those types of questions aren't repeatable and observable and verifiable. They're not really scientific questions. And they really come to the end of themselves by explaining, where did all of this stuff come from and how did it get so designed? So I think still that even though science tries, it still is not as strong an argument as this microphone is to demonstrate the existence of God.
That's fair. Yeah.
But I suspect that didn't persuade you.
No.
No, yeah. It didn't.
I'm still not persuaded, yeah.
Right. But were you just being polite to me about science not being able to explain it? Or do you still say, nope, science has an explanation for this?
I don't think it has. I mean, science doesn't have an explanation for everything. Like, we don't know everything, and that's, like, fine to not know everything, so.
So is there something else that is keeping you from believing in this God besides science?
How I've seen other people interpret the word of God and what they do with that, and from the origins of it as well, the creation of the Catholic Church and then like the Reformation, just because this one guy wanted to get a divorce, so he made his own church, and that's where Martin Luther came from as well. Is he didn't believe the same things these people believed, so they started their own belief. And so religion is just kind of cult, more or less. But yeah, so.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Men have made a hash of it.
Whether or not, yeah, God was real and had like a whole plan and everything, because Jesus of Nazareth was real. So he was a real person. And same with like the prophet Muhammad, was this a real person? And the Mormon church guy, Joseph, whatever, he was a real person. Mm-hmm. But like whether or not their religion is like the end all be all to like when I die, what's going to happen, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, the thing that I would say, I would agree with you that humans have really made a hash of things in a lot of ways. But I would suggest to you that really doesn't have any sort of determiner as to whether or not this God actually exists. It would be like, let's say you had 5 kids and they were all really naughty. I wouldn't judge you based on them. I don't think we should judge God based on some of the actions of some of his presumed followers. I still think we need to test these claims on their face as opposed to what human beings have done with them. So you're right. I think humans have done a pretty miserable job with religion. But that still begs the question, is this God real? Does he exist? Is it true? So if we still are asking that same question, what might it be, Hannah, that would keep you from going, you know, I really like the idea of that. If that God exists, that is like, that's a good God. He forgives sins. He helps me with my shame. He makes sense of the world. He offers me everlasting life. That's a good, that's like a really good offer. It would be like me coming up to you, and this would be trite, and saying, Hannah, I've got $1 million for you. And you arguing and going, well, you know, people have done bad things with money. Well, yes, they've done bad things with money. But I've got $1 million for you, but you kept arguing with me the problem with money or where it was printed or that it got had too many trees cut down to make it and what have you. But I've got $1 million for you, Hannah. I'm saying this God exists and he is good and he wants to forgive you and to adopt you and to help you deal with guilt and shame and fear. What would keep you from believing that? That's still my question.
I just don't have any like undeniable proof. Like the Bible was written by man and like religion was created by man. Like I just don't believe it. I just think the interpretations that people have done with it, everyone has their own. They pick and choose what they want from the Bible and everything like that.
Oh, those old ruses. Again, prepare to respond to them because you will inevitably get them. We will do that next from Georgia State University, Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
Ask most Christians what they know about hermeneutics, and you'll likely get, Herman who? That sounds like somebody's uncle. Is that the guy that always comes and just stays quiet in the back of the small group? Hermeneutics is actually the art and science of interpreting scripture. And if you don't know how to do it rightly, you're going to read the Bible wrongly. Worse, you're actually going to be an easy target for every false teacher with a podcast and a proof text. Herman Hu is basically a master's level education in how to read the Bible correctly, and it's condensed into something that you can actually finish. You'll learn how to interpret a 2,000-year-old book in a 21st century world without twisting it into something it was never meant to say. By the end of it, you'll never read scripture the same way again, and you'll never have the wool pulled over your eyes by someone who sounds competent but doesn't know what they're talking about. Herman Hu, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a lot of ministries talk to individuals, and that's fine. But somewhere along the way, the local church gets forgotten. And we believe that to be a big problem. Because the local church is the institution that Jesus promised to build. It's not an afterthought. It's the plan. And that's why we exist at Fortis Institute. We exist to strengthen local churches, not replace them. Everything we create, our podcasts, our videos, all of our resources and teaching, it's all designed to be useful to pastors and small group leaders and church members who want to grow. We're not trying to be your church. As a matter of fact, we're always pointing to your local church. And if that mission is something that resonates with you, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Your support helps us create content that equips the saints and strengthens the body of Christ. And we know you have questions about what that would look like in your life, and we've got answers at fortisinstitute.org. Help us be a part of something that serves the local church. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Conflict. That's not an if in your life. That's a when. You will most definitely disagree with your spouse, your kids, your coworkers, your in-laws, maybe all of them in the same week. The question is whether those disagreements turn your home into a war zone or something you can actually resolve. That's what our resource Conflict is all about. Todd Friel, who admits he's an expert in conflict, mostly because he's caused so much of it, and Dr. John Street will both challenge you to respond in ways so radically biblical that even the people you've been fighting with will take notice. They'll walk you through biblical reconciliation step by step so you can actually heal what's been broken. If you're exhausted from the same arguments on repeat, if your home feels more like a battlefield than a refuge, there is a better way, and it's not another self-help technique. It is scripture. Conflict is streaming right now on Fortis Plus for free. Just download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.org.
Books of the Bible. God told Hosea the prophet to marry a prostitute to illustrate Israel's unfaithfulness to God and God's faithful love for Israel. When Hosea's wife returned to prostitution and was enslaved, he bought her back and loved her. When you are mistreated and abandoned, remember that is how you treated God. But if you turn to God, He will forgive you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, the same old laundry list. This is Wretched Radio on a Witness Wednesday at Georgia State University, witnessing to a young lady trying to persuade her. If you can imagine a God this amazing, would you want to know Him? The answer should inevitably be yes. If a God can forgive sins, remove my shame, give me purpose in life, give me everlasting life, yeah, I'd like to know that God and then prove that He is. I endeavored to do that with this young lady. And then what was I hit by? It wasn't snarky, but it was the same old laundry list. Hey, the Christians, they've done a lot of bad things. The Bible, the interpretation, translation. It's like the telephone game. People pick and choose. On and on and on they go to try to do what? Is it really to undermine the veracity of the Bible? Well, yeah, but it has a grander end game. If we can show that the Bible has problems, if that there are historical deficiencies in Christianity, that allows me to say God doesn't exist and I don't need to deal with Him. That is what is going on underneath people's objections to God. And so it is. This young lady offered her objections and I offered this response.
All right, tell me what you think of this premise. You might reject this, all right? But I'll state it and then you agree or disagree. That the things that you've mentioned to me aren't as genuine reasons for rejecting the validity of those claims as much as they are excuses, because I think most of us don't like the idea of that God existing, because we recognize if He does exist, and if He's good, and if He's holy, and if He's God and my maker, I'm going to have to follow His rules, the way that He wants me to live, and I'd prefer to live the way that I want to live. So we tend to come up with some excuses to reject it, but the real issue has more to do with our will and our lack of desire to surrender our will to the will of God. Do you think that maybe is what is the underlying reason for your excuses for rejecting that God?
I feel like it is for a lot of people. I'm not entirely, like I said, I'm on the fence about the whole thing. I grew up in the church and everything like that. So I don't know. I know it's an excuse for a lot of people that they'd rather like be hedonistic about things and then right. Instead of, you know, living as God would intend if God did exist. Right. But yeah, so.
But you don't think that's true for you?
I don't think so, no. I feel like I'm an inherently good person. Like I try to do good things. I, you know, morally, I feel like I'm pretty sound, so.
Would you be kind enough to let me test that claim?
Sure.
Hannah, have you ever told a lie?
I mean, yeah, everyone has.
Oh, I agree. I agree. All right. How many do you think you've told?
At least three.
At least three. Okay, at least three. All right. So if I told at least three lies, what name, what word would you use to describe me? You would call me a?
I mean, a liar, I guess, if you're only basing your personality on the lies you've told.
But it would be sort of like a criminal, like a thief. He robs one bank. Yeah. I know he's done a lot of things, but he's a thief. He might be a father. He might be an employee, but he's a thief. All right. Have you ever stolen anything?
From like a store or a person or just in
person, coins from your parents, from your mom's purse, a pen that didn't belong to you, downloading music, whatever.
I get downloading music, piracy. Okay.
Well, it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, because, I mean, we've all taken something that didn't belong to you. If you cheated on somebody's paper, you took their work and used it as your own. So that's in a sense, stealing too. All right. What about moral purity? Like always having pure thoughts. I think almost everybody would say, I'm not always pure in my mind.
I mean, yeah, everyone's human, right. So.
What about taking the Lord's name in vain? blasphemy, using God's name as a curse word, OMG, that type of thing. Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Ever dishonor your parents?
Yeah.
Ever desired something that didn't belong to you?
Yes.
Okay, I'm kind of rattling off the Ten Commandments, right?
I know right? Where it's going, yeah.
Okay. So, you said you're a morally good person, mm-hmm. but you just admitted you've broken really all of God's laws. Wouldn't you actually be a guilty criminal in the eyes of God?
In the eyes of God, sure. Yeah. But as just your average everyday person,
I agree, but then that just puts us in the same boat with a lot of other criminals, that's all. I'm with you. Look, I'm older than you, and I'm a bigger sinner than you, so I've got no problem going, yep, I'm not a good person. I don't think I'm a good person. I think I'm a bad person who does bad things, and it sounds like you do the same bad things that I do. And the one who really matters in our judgment is not ourselves, because we all tend to think we're pretty good people. But what really matters is what the judge thinks. A criminal goes into the courtroom, he can think that he's really good, but it's just irrelevant. It's really the determination of the judge. So if God judges you based on his laws, let's say the Ten Commandments, let's create a little courtroom. You get brought in. God is the judge. He opens up the books. He knows not just what you've done, but thought life, everything. Would he find you innocent or guilty, Hannah?
He'd probably find me guilty. But I also feel like laws can kind of be like arbitrary and like situational. And I just, the whole idea of God as like a judge with like a gavel or whatever they're called, yeah, is kind of ridiculous to me.
How come?
I don't know. I just don't think.
But do you ever watch the evening news and you see these thugs, they hurt people and they rape people and they murder people and they get off? Doesn't that kind of cause you to go, man, where's justice? I want justice. I don't want people to do those wicked things and get away with it. Don't we have a sense of justice that guilty criminals should be punished for their crimes? Wouldn't God exact the same sort of punishment from guilty criminals? I mean, he is a judge. He is just. He does deal with criminals. We like it on earth when a criminal gets what he deserves. Shouldn't God give us what we deserve?
I don't feel like some crimes are the same. I mean, like raping someone isn't like the same as like stealing chapstick from my mom.
I agree.
So
I do agree with that. I think that there are different types. For instance, murdering somebody versus, I really don't like that guy's shirt. I hate that guy. You know, there's clearly a difference in the level of crime. But that doesn't mean that they still aren't crimes. So, for instance, Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say, look, with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. God's standard appears to be much higher than ours. So while it is far more grievous to actually commit the act, God sees the thought life and the intentions of our hearts. It's that we see really bad things like rape. You and I would be repulsed by rape, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, we see that. Okay, that's because our standard is about here. Well, God's standard is way up here. So he's repulsed by rape, but he hates lying, and he hates cheating, and he hates deceit, and he hates stealing, and he hates blasphemy. He hates coveting because his standard is so high, because he's just not like us. He's higher than us. If that's the God of the Bible and the God who exists, Hannah, the books are open on you. He knows it all. He'd find you guilty of breaking his laws, and no matter how much we protest, doesn't matter. It's the judge who determines, here's the laws, here's my standard, here's the punishment. You and I would be in hot water. We'd be in hell is where we would be, right?
Everyone would, like, by his standards.
I totally agree. So. Yeah. I agree, and I think that's the universal problem. And the universal solution is he sent his son to die for us so that we could be forgiven. God the Son took the wrath of God the Father on your behalf so that you could be forgiven if you'd put your trust in him. And that way your court case can be dismissed because somebody stepped into the courtroom of judgment and paid your fine. So Jesus has paid your fine for you. So that suddenly makes what seems like a scary religion a good religion.
That was it. That was how I chose to respond to the same old, same old. Now, there's nothing wrong with engaging in apologetics, a defense for all of those accusations, but don't do it at the expense of presenting the gospel. Try to leave Jesus ringing in their ears. Now, that was what I endeavored to do. Did Hannah fall to her knees in repentance and faith? No. But you or I cannot get that job done. Only God can. And so you and I must find a way to respond to pretty much the same old accusations and make sure we open up the law to bring about the knowledge of sin. Then we preach the cross, repentance and faith, and let God do his work that only he can do. Take yourself off the hook of not having a high success rate when it comes to evangelism. And because the only one that ever has success with conversion is God. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.